Luke chapter 24. A man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. It is on this, what we have read, the resurrection of Christ our Lord, that all of our hope is on. All of what we live for is because of what our Lord has done. And as we read this morning, we know that the world at large will probably read of this occasion on this day. But if we look at the Word of God, and if we look at the Acts of the Apostles in specific, there's not one sermon that was delivered that did not speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, as oft as you break bread, do it in remembrance of me. His body, which was broken for us, his death upon the cross, he says, remember that. And whatever you do, when you honor me, when you glorify me, do that in remembrance of me. His death and his resurrection, his suffering for our sake, for our sin. And as we look at this chapter, there's so much in this chapter, but I'd like to just touch on a few subjects. Even going back to the previous few verses that we had read at the end of chapter 23, we find that Joseph of Arimathea, it doesn't tell us in this portion, but we know Nicodemus was also the one who came to Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. If those two men did not go to beg for the body of Jesus, the disciples weren't there to do that. No one was found except for Nicodemus, who came to him by night a few years earlier, perhaps 3 years earlier. He came to him by night, and Jesus showed him the path to his heart. And Nicodemus remembered him, remembered those words. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus asked for the body of Jesus. If it wasn't for that, he'd have just been thrown into a pile of bodies like all the other criminals were. But no, they brought the body and they took the body of Jesus and they wrapped it in linen. And they took expensive ointment, embalming fluid, or what we would probably call today, but ointment to wrap him in. And we just picture Nicodemus as he is doing this. He comes across his hands. His hands that are pierced, and he remembers certainly vividly what Jesus had just told him earlier when he said, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It was these hands that were lifted up and nailed to the cross, and Nicodemus took and wrapped and laid him. It tells us in a sepulcher where it was hewn out of stone where no man had lain before. And it tells us the women also came from Galilee, followed after, and they beheld where was the body laid. This was the day of preparation for the Sabbath, which was to come the next day. And the Sabbath is something that, in this Sabbath day, that is probably the least spoken of that is ever spoken of a Sabbath. There's no information given to us of what took place on the Sabbath day. Jesus was dead. And it tells us that they prepared spices and ointment, and they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. And upon the first day of the week, Sunday, this is the day that the apostles have set aside, the early church had taken as the day that would replace the Sabbath, as the day of rest. When God's people would gather together and worship him on the day that he had victory over Satan, over death itself. And it is the day that we honor every Sunday morning. We gather and we dedicate this entire day unto our Lord. And we see later as we read, we see when the disciples had come in together on the Lord's day, that Thomas wasn't with them that first time. It tells us that the 10, when they saw Jesus, that they believed him. Jesus had made himself known unto his disciples on that gathering. Someone was missing, and it was Thomas. The next time they gathered, Thomas came. But we see what Thomas missed. Why? Because he wasn't there. Why wasn't he there? It doesn't tell us, but we see he had a lack of faith. He didn't come together, and by not coming together one time, brothers and sisters and my dear friends, look at what he missed. He went another week without the knowledge that Jesus, his Savior, had risen from the dead, that he was alive forevermore. And that's why the scriptures tell us that we are to assemble together, that we are to worship him. What else do we have in this day than to gather together and to worship our Lord, our Creator, the one who took our sin upon himself and died at the hands, it tells us here, of sinful man, so that we might have life? What more is there that is important than to honor him and to take this one day out of seven? Not come grudgingly, not come in a manner in which, oh, I have to go again. Well, I should go to be seen of men. Don't come for that, to be seen of men. But dear ones, to be in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is with us. He does marvelous things. He can, through the reading of one word, ignite something within our hearts that will bring us, As we see here, as he expounded them to these two men. Well, we don't know if they're men. We know one was a man. And the other may have been his wife, Cleopas' wife. We don't know who the other is. But there were two disciples who were walking to the road of Emmaus. And when he spoke to them, it says, didn't our heart burn within us? When we are in the presence of God and his holy word is before us, our hearts ought to burn within us. But they won't burn within us if our thoughts are wandering to and fro and going other places where we could be, or where we are, where we're not in the presence here with brothers and sisters. We could be somewhere else and doing something else. Is our heart going to burn within us? As the word of God is expounded, just by the reading, Just by the reading, we can read and be moved, because God can do that. God can do that in our hearts. And so we find here this account of the resurrection of our Lord, that it tells us that the women came. And in other portions of Scripture, it tells us they wondered who is going to roll this stone away for them. But they come and they found that the stone is already rolled away. They enter in, they don't see Jesus. They don't see his body, but they see the cloth, as it was woven. He didn't rise up and take the cloth off. He simply rose with the cloth in the same manner in which it had laid. He didn't need the stone to be rolled away for him to make his to rise up and to have victory over the grave. He didn't need the stone rolled away. But it tells us they were sore afraid. They bowed down their faces to the earth when they saw two men, two angels in the form of men, standing by them in shining garments. To see two men suddenly in the sepulcher where their Lord was laid, they witnessed. They see two men in shining garments. And he says they just simply bowed their faces to the earth and they're afraid. And he says, why are you seeking the living among the dead? They weren't. They were looking for the dead among the dead. But Jesus is not there. Jesus is alive forevermore. He didn't rise because he wanted to. It tells us here, this had to happen. He must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. This had to happen. He is not here. He is risen. And they tell him, and the angels tell them, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And they said, and they remembered his words. Dear ones, it was the women who were the first believers of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They came, they saw, and they believed. It tells us that when they went back, they told the 11 and to all the rest who was there that Jesus is alive. And the Bible tells us that they didn't believe them. And you know, this is what is holding back man today. The fool belief of who Jesus is. Because if we really believed who Jesus is and what he has done, the power that he says is given unto him, all power is given unto him. What does that mean? Is, you know, we look at the mighty weapons of war as we see the hydrogen bombs and the various things that, you know, we marvel at a jet engine and what it does, and a rocket booster, and we just sit there and we marvel, and we do. Those are creations of man. Those are nothing. The power over all of that, it makes that look like a little cap. A hydrogen bomb, it's nothing. All power is given unto me. If we really believe that, we would put our full confidence and trust in him. And he would direct our lives. And just as we read here, dear ones, that these two, as they're going on the road, going on the road to Emmaus. I looked that up. It says the 70 furlongs is probably about 7 miles. That's a long way to walk. But they walked back from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they talked together of that which had happened. They heard, they came, they saw that Jesus died, they saw him buried, and they hear he's alive, but they don't believe it. Just like the 11, they didn't believe it. These were disciples of his also. They were those who believed in Jesus when he was with them. It said they talked together and came to pass that while they communed together and they reasoned, Jesus, none other than Jesus, comes near unto them. And it says that they couldn't, their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And dear ones, what is it today that would keep our eyes holding that we would not see him? Literally see him. Okay, I'm not talking with our physical eyes, I'm talking with our spiritual eyes. We have to see him. These men, or these two, did not see him. What kept them from seeing him? A lack of faith. They read, they knew. They knew the Psalms, they knew the prophets, they knew Moses. They knew that everything pointed to Jesus. Everything written in the Old Testament that they had before them. They didn't have the New Testament that's being written. It's actually happening. They're living it. But they had the Old Testament, and they were with Jesus, and he told them of what would take place, what must take place. He told them all. But they couldn't understand. None of the disciples understood that Jesus was really going to die and that he would rise again. They couldn't put it together. And if we don't see Jesus today, what is it? Is it because, look, it says here that their eyes were holding. They didn't have a choice to see him. Well, it was their lack of faith that made their eyes holding. It was the Pharaoh's a hardening of his own heart that caused his heart to be hardened and that God hardened. So God doesn't allow us, God will not make himself manifest unto us when we lack faith, when we don't believe in him. Matter of fact, John, in Jesus says that in the Gospel of John. Beautiful words, dear ones, that ought to cause us to really sit bolt upright in our seats to consider. It says, he that hath my commandments, John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You say you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And listen to what he says. And will manifest myself to him. I will make myself known. You will see me. If I don't see him, it's because I have lack of faith. When I am lacking of faith, in faith, I am in sin. Because that is the only thing that keeps me from seeing Jesus. And so God wants to make himself manifest unto us. He wants to show us his power and his might, and that he can deliver us from the power of sin, as Jesus himself could not be holding. The death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. As who is it? Paul says that. He had to rise up. Satan could hold Jesus. Death. He had the victory over death and Satan itself. And so he asked these two, he says, what? He says, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know what's going on here? Did you just arrive? The one who died, they're asking him, did you just arrive? And he says, what? Concerning Jesus. He was a prophet, mighty indeed. They looked at him as a prophet. And he goes on, and they explain the story of how he was delivered and condemned to death, and they crucified him. He said, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We thought that he would save Israel from Rome. They didn't understand. And dear brothers and dear sisters, And dear friends, what is our outlook on who Jesus is? Okay, if I believe in him, he will give me what I need in life, what I think I need in life. He will give me the blessings of wealth, of some kind of notoriety, some kind of status, some kind. He will give me the desires of my heart. Well, he will. But when the desires of our heart are for him, he will give himself to us. What is there that is more precious than Jesus? These two are sad. They're leaving Jerusalem brokenhearted. We thought that this Jesus was going to redeem Israel. We put our trust and hope in him. They did, but for all the wrong reasons. You see, dear ones, for all the wrong reasons could lead us into paths that will lead us into utter darkness. We could believe on him, but for our own fleshly desires and wants. God doesn't promise us a life of roses, a path of roses. As the hymn writer says, so wonderfully steep and thorny is the way. It is. It is. But with Jesus, it's made possible. And with Jesus, it's not sad. It's not a sad road. The hardships of life are new every day. That's why Jesus tells us, do not be anxious for the morrow. I know I am, brothers and sisters and dear friends. Oftentimes, I start to think about the next day, the next week. What's going to happen? What about this? How about this? And the prophet tells us, the Lord's mercies, they are new every day. They're new every day. So Jesus tells us, sufficient is the evil of the day. So today has its troubles, brothers and sisters and dear friends. Today's a new day, and today has new troubles. It has new problems. But God's mercies are new for today. To meet the troubles and the needs of today, God's mercies are there. Do you believe that? Do I believe that with my whole heart? The one that does not, you know, why art thou cast down? Why am I cast down? It's going to be only one reason, because of my lack of faith and trust in the one who says, I recognize the troubles of the day. I know what they are. I am with you. My mercies are new every day. Tomorrow's troubles are going to be new, and tomorrow's mercies will be new, and they will meet the troubles of tomorrow. And so we are in such simple words told not to be anxious. Believe. Just believe. Dear ones, faith takes us through victories that none of our thoughts could ever take us to. None of our ways could take us to the victories that God gives us when our faith is and belief is in him. As we see this, Jesus is speaking to them now. And he says, oh, fools. After they tell him everything, he says, oh, fools. What does he call them? Fools. Oh, fools. That is what I am when I don't believe him. When I try to create a different way, in whatever manner it might be, to take care of the troubles of today or of tomorrow, which aren't even there yet. I may not even live to see tomorrow. And I'm going to worry about it today. I may not even see it. Oh, fools, slow of heart. What? To believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What a road that was traveled. Jesus Christ, talking to them, beginning with Moses, all the prophets, he expounds unto them in all the scriptures the things that are concerning himself. Begins with Moses and goes to the Old Testament. And he explains to them everything that concerned him. What a sermon to be in front of. But you know what, dear ones, we have that. We have that with his word. I often think when I read this, I would have loved to have been that disciple in that road. But dear ones, we have that. We have his completed, perfect word that leads us on that road that we are currently on. We are on the road, not to Emmaus. But Jesus is with us on this road that we're traveling now. Is he telling us also, oh, you fool, why are you so slow of heart to believe everything that was spoken of me? Why are you slow to believe that in me is the power, that in me is victory, that come and follow me? Don't listen to what the world tells you. Don't listen to what the flesh is telling you. Don't listen that to be meek is to be weak. Don't listen to that. Look at me. I've showed you a way. Why are you so slow to believe? Dear ones, the path of Jesus is not the path that is desired by this flesh. But it's the way that Jesus has laid out for us and showed us that it is a path to victory, to glory. He says, I have suffered these things and to enter into my glory. We also, dear ones, when we walk this road to that new Jerusalem, he is with us. And when he is with us, we also will enter into glory with him. Does he tell us, O fools? He does. Do we hear him? Do we even hear him? What is our conscience like? Do we even care to hear what Jesus has to say? You know, it takes me back to, and I just spoke to a brother yesterday. We're talking about Christ, and we talked about Philip and Philip's words to Jesus. He says, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus is in front of him. He's not interested in Jesus. He wants the Father. Is Jesus attractive to you and to me today? Do I dismiss Jesus and I want to see the Father? And the Bible tells us explicitly that Jesus is the express image of the Father. Jesus tells him, you have seen me, Philip. You have seen me. You have seen the Father. Do we dismiss Jesus because he isn't what I want for my life? My life could be a life of great hardship. Look at the apostles. Joyful, joyful to be persecuted. My time is already up, dear ones. I didn't even go through this chapter. I knew we couldn't. There's so much written here, but when Jesus comes to them, he enters in and he tells them, peace be unto you. This is what he gives. The world promises peace and gives turmoil. There's no peace in any sin. In any following of the flesh, there's no peace. He says, peace be unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Not as the world gives, I give you true peace. Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. Dear ones, when he talked to the disciples on their way to Emmaus, think of what he did. If I am lacking faith today, if you are lacking faith today, am I going to be as Thomas who says, show me your hands, show me. I want to see. What did he do to the two on the way to Emmaus? Did he say, look at my hands, I am the one? No. He showed him the scripture.
Jesus manifests himself to us through his word. We don't need to see with these fleshly eyes, the nails that were in his hands. We don't need to see that. He doesn't want to show us that. He says, I'm going to go, but I'm going to leave a comforter with you. He will lead you into all truth. Why? Because he will point you to me. All truth. He will point you to me. To me, the Ancient of Days, the Eternal One. And he tells us that he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's the revelation. That's the Lord Jesus telling us. I'll read it again because it's a verse that really struck me this morning. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Not by showing me his hands, by pointing me to the Word. To the Word. We will know him, and he will show himself to us, and we will love him, and we will keep his commandments, and he will make himself more known unto us. As our faith increases, His manifestation increases. Have we ever felt that I now know God? I know him. We will never know him. But every day we will learn more of him. And he says, thus it is written and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. It was written and he had to do this. Why? To rise from the dead the third day, so that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. We see the disciples gathered together with the women and others who were there waiting for the promise. 40 days Jesus was with them, and he ascended, and it tells them he led them out as far as to Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And dear ones, this is Jesus today. As it says, and they worshiped him, and it says, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem in great joy. That is what we do today. We worship him, and what does Jesus do? He blesses them. He blesses us. If we worship him, he blesses us. Don't expect his blessings. What are his blessings? His peace. My peace I give unto you. Those are his blessings. Those are the blessings that carry us every day through a new sorrow, through a new trouble, through a new torture, if it be. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Look at the difference from the beginning of the chapter when Jesus was dead to the end of the chapter where Jesus is alive. It impacted them. They now believe. They know who he is. This is the Messiah that was preached by Moses and the prophets of the Old Testament. This is he. He was with us. We were witnesses. There's no more sorrow on the road. There's no sorrow on this road in this life when Jesus is with us. There's a peace within us that overcomes all adversity. We have to believe this, brothers and sisters and dear friends. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Continually. Not forsaking. Continually. Why? He was their love. When Jesus is my love, when Jesus' word is my love, his commandments are dear to me, he makes himself known to me. Dear ones, I can never explain to you who Jesus is, and neither can you explain it, who Jesus is to me or to anyone. No, we can speak of him. We speak of him. And we speak of the hope that we have when we have our faith fully set upon him. And that he makes himself manifest unto us. May God bless his word in our hearts, dear ones, in this morning and in this day, that we would, with that same joy that the apostles went forth preaching the resurrection. Every sermon had the resurrection in it. They spoke of Jesus, the cross, and the power of his resurrection. And living in that power, what it meant. It's victory. Victory over self. Victory over sin. Victory over death. Victory over the grave. It's victory in Jesus. Amen.